Tiffany and you. White boy stew. Got my co-host Lane with me too. Tiffany and you. Time to go to class at the Tiffany and you. Once a week on Wednesday at the Tiffany and you. Talking college sports at the Tiffany and you. White boy is the deacon at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. I was Stu, I am the host at the Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. Tiffany and you. We are all about our students at the Tiffany and you. Ooh. Tiffany and you. White boy Stu. Got my co-host Lane with me too. Tiffany Network.
Welcome back to class here at the 10 for 10 U. I am your host, White Boy Stu. You can follow me on Twitter at @GoGators_SNT, or you can follow me on Facebook under my government name, and that's Stuart Thompson. That's with the EW and not the U. You can follow the 10 for 10 Network on Facebook and Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. And as always, I am joined by my co-host. You can follow this man on Twitter at @Chris_Slayton, or you can smack the underdash out of there and follow him on Facebook, Chris Slayton. Slayton, how's it going?
Going pretty good. Enjoying all these late night football games.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. Obviously, there's a little bit more college basketball coming on TV now. So we're kind of gearing down the football season. Even the NFL only got one more week of the regular season. So football's winding down. But like you said, there means there's games on pretty much the whole time, at least for the rest of this week. This is pretty much the last week. Actually, it is the last week of bowl season. But we got a ton to talk about. We had to actually end up having a bunch of really intriguing games this past weekend that happened over the weekend. So we're going to go ahead and review a couple of those. And the first game we're going to hop into is the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl. And this had a local team, the MTSU Blue Raiders. And they were facing Western Michigan. And this one was tied 17-17 at halftime. And this game was close pretty much until the fourth quarter. And that's when Western Michigan kind of pulled away in this one. They had 21 points in the fourth quarter to MTSU 7. So MTSU just kind of ran out of steam on offense towards the end of the game. As far as Western Michigan, their offense, we had Zach Terrell go 18 of 26, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. So a pretty nice day for him through the air. And then we had 41 carries, 282 yards and 4 touchdowns for Western Michigan's rush. And that was led by Jamari Bogan with 19 carries, 215 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he definitely got it done in the run game. And then you had Terrell throwing the ball, almost hit a 300-yard mark. So a pretty nice day for Western Michigan's offense. They kind of kept rolling all game long, and they never really slowed down. But like I said, as far as MTSU, they hung in there for pretty much the whole entire game. Had Brent Stocksel, who is the coach's son, actually. He went 26 of 39, 327 yards, 3 touchdowns, and only 1 interception, and also had 9 carries for 22 yards. So he had a pretty nice day through the air as well. And then MTSU as a team, this is probably where they lost the game, had 26 carries for 115 yards and 1 touchdown. And we had the duo of Richie James, 2 carries, 61 yards and a touchdown. And we also had Shane Tucker go 10 carries for 30 yards. So Slayton, I look at this one, like I said, MTSU just kind of ran out of steam. But Stockstill, he's only a freshman, and see him put up these kind of numbers in his freshman year, I'm pretty intrigued to see where him, his dad, and this MTSU program goes from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, the last few years, Stockstill, he's had it going. I mean, he's had this team on the right track. He's brought in decent recruiting, a lot of 2- and 3-star guys that he's really developed well. At the end of the day, this game came down to who was going to play defense last.
Yep.
And Western Michigan, they pulled it out. They got that last drive put together, and they sealed it. And once they scored, you knew the game was over. But, yeah, it was a decent game to watch. It really was. I believe it was even at halftime.
Yep, 17-17.
Yeah, so it was a great game to watch till that last probably 5 minutes of the fourth quarter when they sealed it up.
Yep, exactly. So, obviously, these two teams, when you're flipping through the guide, you're probably not going to see this matchup and go, man, I need to watch that game. But if you ended up spending three and a half hours with these two teams, you got your cable's money's worth. So, the next game, that we're going to hop into is the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. And that had Indiana and Duke. And me and Slayton, I know both of us were pretty excited for this one. And this one was also a good game. It was back and forth pretty much the whole entire game. And, of course, what would college football, a weekend of college football be without a little bit of controversy? Indiana missed a 36-yard field goal to take it to overtime. I don't know if he missed it. It looked like it was good. I've always heard if it went over the top of the field goal post that it's in, it's considered good. But they don't review from the up top for field goals in college. They'll do it off the sides. But for some dumb reason, they don't do it off the top. So Indiana loses in heartbreaking fashion. And Duke gets the win, 44-41. But like I said, this game was close all the way through. It was 17-17 at halftime, so this was another really good competitive game. As far as Duke, we had Thomas Cirque go 17 of 37, 163 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. So he did not have a good day through the air whatsoever, but he made up for it, had 20 carries, 155 yards, and two touchdowns. So he had a pretty nice day on the ground, and he actually led all of Duke in running the ball. And Duke as a team went 46 carries, 373 yards, three touchdowns. And that was led by Jella Duncan besides the quarterback, Cirque. Duncan had 13 carries for 109 yards and zero touchdowns. So considering there was 44 points scored in the game and there wasn't much done through the pass game, the run game really took over for Duke and was able to kind of control this game in a way, kind of conserve clock a little bit, eat the clock a little bit. As far as Indiana, they also had a pretty nice day on offense. We had Nate Sudfield go 28-51, 389 yards, three touchdowns, and two interceptions. So not a bad day considering the yards and the touchdowns, but the two interceptions, never want to see that. Obviously, Cirque had 2-2. And then Indiana as a run team had 47 carries, 278 yards, two touchdowns, and that was led by Devin Redding with 35 carries. 227 yards, and one touchdown. So, Slayton, you look at this one. Quarterbacks kind of struggled a little bit taking care of the ball, but both of the run games showed up, had very great days running the ball. And this one kind of, it almost ended up to be whoever had the ball last. But I guess my question about this one would really be, do you think the kid made the field goal at the end?
I think it's irrelevant. I really do.
Don't avoid my question. I don't think he did. Really?
I really don't.
It was hard to call.
Well, the thing is, I mean, we could sit here and look at all the multiple pictures that are online and everything, but there's not a shot of the top of the upright.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to get that shot anyways. You would have to have a hovering camera.
Bruh, they have a camera in the pylons. I would think they could put it in the goalpost.
Well, the thing is, you're going to have to suspend it from the top of the stadium and hover over the goalpost.
Shoot two lasers out. That's how you know.
Well, I mean, that could work just as well.
Or make the goalpost longer.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I mean, you know, just
do you think they should be able to review it? Because I do.
Oh, yeah, I wish they could review it.
Yeah.
I believe if you have an opportunity to get it right, you should always take that opportunity.
Yeah, I do too.
But at the end of the day, me and you, we've both played football for quite a while, and we know that the football gods have a way of evening things up.
They do.
So Duke earlier this year, they lost a tough one on what was probably a terrible call in the Miami game.
That was way worse.
And I mean, they got one back, so.
Yeah. Football gods, they are some tricky individuals. I'm not going to say anything bad about them because my team still has to play their bowl game. So I'm not going to say anything about the football gods.
Don't tempt them.
I love the football gods. They did a lot for Florida this year, honestly, if you ask me. So they can be on your side or they can't be. And as far as this game, they were on Duke's side, not Indiana's side. But another good bowl game. So the next game we're going to hop into is the Camping World Independence Bowl. And this one had Tulsa versus V-Tech. And this was Frank Beamer's last game coaching. And surprisingly, this one turned into a shootout. At halftime, it was 45-31 V-Tech. And V-Tech keeps the lead and gets the W 55-52. Had Michael Brewer go 23-37, 344 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. That was probably his season high in yardage. It had to be because he's been kind of a below-average quarterback most of the season. And then V-Tech's run game, 43 carries, 254 yards, and five touchdowns, led by Trayvon McMillan with 16 carries, 82 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So as you can tell, they depended a lot on the run game, and there was just a lot of offense in this game. I mean, with both teams in the 50s, a lot of offense. As far as Tulsa, had Dane Evans go 27 of 44, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Also had 12 carries, 18 yards, and a touchdown. So Mr. Evans did quite a lot through the air, and with the one touchdown, he actually contributed running the ball, even with just 18 yards. So not a bad day for him. As far as Tulsa on the ground, they also had a pretty nice day, just like Virginia Tech. 39 carries, 189 yards, 4 touchdowns, and that was led by D'Angelo Brewer with 14 carries, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Slayton, I look at this in these first 3 games. You start seeing the pattern in bowl games. You see teams that have quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks can make plays and everything, but they're just not as crisp as they are in the season. So you really see the run game stats kind of get boosted in a way because they kind of have to take over for the mistakes that the quarterbacks are making.
Well, yeah, we've preached it all year. The run game travels.
Yep.
So when you have these few weeks off, this week or so off, that pass game is all about timing. Yes, you get it in practice, but it's not game time timing.
Nope.
So you've really got to work the kinks out on the fly. So it's much easier to pound the rock, control the clock, and get out of there.
Yep.
And VTech, I mean, they did a great job of spreading the ball around and getting it out when they could, but they ran the ball very effectively. And I was proud to see Beamer get his last win.
Yes, that is the main key. That's why we're touching on this game, is a coach like Frank Beamer, who's done it the right way for longer than me and Slayton have been existing on this earth.
That's true.
Just done it the right way, never took the bull crap, you know, always ran his program the 100% the right way. If you are an up-and-coming coach and you want to see the right way to do things, go look at Frank Beamer's career because it will show you a lot. And it was just kind of ironic, Beamer being known for his defense, that his last game and his last W comes in a shootout. Just kind of ironic. Once again, them football gods, they can be funny sometimes.
Yeah.
I tell you. So the next game we're going to hop into was the Military Bowl, and this one had a team we've touched on plenty of times and a player we've touched on plenty of times, and we had Pitt versus number 21, Navy. And Navy pretty much controlled this game for pretty much the whole entire game. Let it have 21-7. Reynolds takes back his career touchdown and his career points records away from the young man from Louisiana Tech from last weekend. He ended up with his career totals after this game being 88 touchdowns and 530 points, and he leads Navy to once again another victory, 44-28 over the Pitt Panthers. So we got Reynolds, 9 of 17, 126 yards, 1 touchdown, and 0 interceptions. So not a bad day through the air once again with, you know, minimum attempts and minimum completion, still getting it done. And of course, he ate on the ground. 24 carries, 144 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So, obviously, he led the team in rushing once again as far as yardage is concerned. And big number here, Slayton. We're going to talk about a big rush number here in a minute, but this one's also pretty big. Navy as a team, 71 carries, 417 yards, and 5 touchdowns. We had the duo of Chris Swan, 27 carries, 114 yards. And then we also had Deshaun Romney with 4 carries and 84 yards. So between them three guys, even Romney with only 4 carries getting 84 yards, obviously with the wing T offense, there's going to be a lot of carries and a lot of running, but still 71, that's a pretty big number if you ask me. And then as far as the Pitt Panthers goes, we had an old Tennessee Volunteer at quarterback, a guy who has lost to Florida. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there real quick. Nathan Peterman goes 13 of 21, 137 yards, 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions, and he also had 3 carries for 25 yards. So that's about the Nathan Peterman I remember. And then Pitt as a team, 21 carries, 198 yards, and 1 touchdown, and that was led by Quadri Olson with 8 carries, 73 yards, and 1 touchdown. So Slayton, you look at this one, we're both glad Reynolds got his records back. Glad his last game at Navy was a victory, and 3 Pitt just didn't have the offense to be able to keep up with that wing T machine that Navy has.
No, not at all. I mean, even that defense, I didn't believe that Pitt's defense was as solid as Navy's either. Navy's linebackers, I mean, watching them fit the gaps in this game was a thing of beauty. It really was. Pitt, yes, they ran the ball effectively for a few quarters, but they got it figured out, and they stuffed it. And once they did, Navy ran away with it. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. I was glad to see Reynolds get the W. Glad to see him get his record back. I'll talk about that here in a minute. But, yeah, loved it.
Yeah, another awesome game for Reynolds. And like we both said, we're glad he got his records back and went out with a W. And like you said, Slayton, pretty much the whole entire fourth quarter, Navy kind of just started sitting on what they had did, their lead. Like you said, they figured Pitt's offense out. They had Peterman flustered at that point. And so they just kind of controlled the rest of the game, which we've seen Navy do plenty of times. So last review we got, we're going to hop in this one real quick. This one actually just went down like 30 minutes ago. Ended up being a pretty good game. We had the Russell's Athletic Bowl. We had number 10, North Carolina, and number 17, Baylor. Now, Slayton, I got to ask you real quick before I get into this review. Do you have the score wrote down? Because I completely forgot to write it down in my notes.
I don't. I did this on the fly.
We are struggling right now here at the 10 for 10 U. I just jotted these notes down like 5 minutes ago, and we just pretty much hopped on the air, and now we are looking like a bunch of fools because we don't have the final score to the game we're going to finally review.
Is it 51 to 29?
No, I have it right here. The final score ended up being North Carolina 38 and the Baylor Bears 49. And Slayton, Baylor absolutely ate it up on the ground. Baylor as a team sets a bowl record with 646 rushing yards. Yes, you heard that right, people. A bowl record. 646 rushing yards as a team. And a funny little quick fact for you. Last year, Baylor set a bowl record in passing yards with 603 passing yards. So two bowl games in a row, Baylor has set a record. And they actually had more running yards than they did passing yards, which is absolutely insane to think about. So as far as Baylor's offense as a whole, Chris Johnson played quarterback. He was the only quarterback they basically had healthy. And he didn't really throw it much. He didn't really do much, period. He went 7 of 12, 82 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 1 interception. So he played just about enough and threw it just enough to turn the ball over, basically. But that's not the story. Like we said, Baylor's run game, 8 all night. 84 carries, 646 yards, and basically 97% of Baylor's offensive plays were positive in this game. So considering they ran the ball 84 times and maybe one or two of those got stopped for negative, that's impressive. And the one who led the pack was Johnny Jefferson, had 23 carries, 299 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But on that last carry he had, he got 2 yards. So we're going to give him 300 here at the 10 for 10 U. He had 300 yards. And then Chaffin, he also had a pretty nice game. 27 carries for 156 yards and 1 touchdown. So Baylor, they didn't hide it. They pretty much said, we're going to run it down your throat. I dare you to try to stop us, North Carolina. And for some reason, North Carolina didn't stop them. And we thought North Carolina would be the one throwing up all the points. And their offense still had a pretty decent day. Williams goes 22 of 36, 243 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And he had 12 carries, 81 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Williams, once again, he had a pretty stellar performance, about what we expect out of him. As far as North Carolina running the ball, definitely didn't get anywhere close to what Baylor did on the ground. 36 carries, 244 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now it was led by Elijah Hood, 13 carries, 118 yards, and 0 touchdowns. So Slayton, if they can't score, they can't win, and that's what Baylor did. They chewed the clock running the ball, chewed the clock running the ball, and then they looked at their watch and said, you know what, we ought to run the ball and chew the clock no more. And that's really what this game comes down to. They limit North Carolina's possessions. North Carolina, a team that can score very fast and a lot.
North Carolina, they didn't make the necessary adjustments.
Yeah.
Good grief. You got a team that's lining up in Wildcat the entire game.
Entire game, people.
okay, at what point do you throw eight in the box? I don't care if you have to put eight linemen in the box.
Like, they had five different people have a pass attempt.
Exactly, and only one of those was a quarterback, I believe.
He was the only one to complete a pass attempt.
Exactly. So, yeah, Lynx Hawthorne, it was almost every time that Hawthorne was in the backfield, you knew it was a run. Same thing with Jefferson. I mean,
Jefferson was lined up at quarterback.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't understand at what point as a defensive coordinator you say, we will make this kid who doesn't normally throw beat us with his arm. We will load the box, blitz him, and get a hand in his face. I don't get it. It's preposterous. I believe if you're a Division I coach at that level in that bowl game, you ought to do better than that.
I think this just shows how great of a mastermind Art Briles is, considering he's got his two starting quarterbacks over there hurt. Neither one of them can play. He got his third string, and he's running Wildcat, and he's still able to beat a really good team in North Carolina, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, if anything, we got to give credit to this offensive line at Baylor.
Yeah.
This has been
the past two games.
Yeah, they did it against Texas, too. They ran it down our throat and almost came back and beat us.
Yeah.
So, credit to their line. Maybe they're just that good, but I still think you should load the box and make them beat you.
Hey, Titans, go ahead and draft all of Baylor's offensive line.
Basically.
Please. So, that's all our reviews for this week. We're going ahead and roll into some quick hits real quick. First one we have was the Marmot Boca Raton Bowl. Was that right, Slayton?
Yes.
And we had number 24 Temple versus Toledo. And Toledo dominates 32-17. Surprising for me, Slayton. I thought Temple would put up a pretty good fight with that defense and Pat Ward at quarterback.
Yeah, I thought Temple would do better. I thought Toledo was more explosive, though, on the offensive end. So I thought Toledo would get this W, but I didn't see him blowing it out. I really didn't. I thought it was going to be tight.
Yeah, I did, too. I thought both these teams were pretty close. Both these teams in the American Athletic Conference, both of them had really good seasons. I wish Temple would have won this one, though, just for my personal sake, because I feel like Temple's had probably their best season they've ever had in football, just to be honest.
Yeah, P.J. Walker let us down on this one. He really did. He had a bad game.
Yeah, their quarterback, he let us down. So, next game, we had the San Diego County Credit Union poinsettia bowl. We had Boise State versus Northern Illinois, and Boise State really ran with this one, 55-7, Slayton.
Boy, this was a slaughter.
Slaughter from beginning to
end. Yeah, beginning to end. It was, what, like three turnovers in the first quarter? It was ridiculous. It was a bad game.
Not for Boise State. If you're a Boise State fan, you were loving it.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're a Boise State fan.
You know what? As sloppy as that bowl name is, it deserved a sloppy bowl game as the result that they got. So, next game we had the Go Daddy Bowl. Had Georgia Southern versus Bowling Green. Georgia Southern, wow, 58-27 Slayton. I was not expecting this because Bowling Green has a very, very dangerous offense. And Georgia Southern came, punched them in the mouth and got it done.
Yeah, and the scary thing is they did it on the ground. They got it done on the ground. It seemed like every time you looked up at the screen, they were breaking off a 10, 15-yard run.
Anytime you can run the ball, control the game, control the momentum, it's hard for you to lose. So the next game we had was the Hawaii Bowl, and this one was a sloppy one as well. San Diego State versus Cincinnati. San Diego State crushes them 42-7.
Yeah, I thought this one would be closer as well. I thought Cincy had a decent offense, be able to run with them, but it got out of hand early, just like the Northern Illinois game did.
Yep, pretty much. So there's not much else to say about that one. So next game, this one was a good one. Low scoring, though. St. Petersburg Bowl, we had UConn and Marshall, and the defenses came to play. Marshall pulls it out, though, 16-10. Not the most pretty one you could have watched, Slayton.
Boy, I'll tell you what, though. Marshall's defense on that last drive was out for blood. I mean, they were knocking heads. They were killing the gaps. They were edge blitzing. They were doing everything they could to get that team off the field. Came down to a third and long, finally got it down, one play left, and then the bat down, and you knew it was just over. It was a pretty epic win for Marshall.
So a good inning to probably a little bit of a boring game to watch if you like to watch scoring. So good win for Marshall. Next game is the Hyundai Sun Bowl. We had Miami and Washington State. This one was also not that pretty, but Washington State pulls it out 20-14. And Slayton, this might be the last time we see Miami in a bad light with Mark Richt being their head coach now. No, you're pretty much just forgetting about the season if you're Miami, right?
Oh, you have to. So much went wrong for Miami this year. You have to put it behind you.
Yeah.
If you dwell on it, it's just going to ruin you for the next few years. And with a new coach like Rick coming in, I don't think he's going to allow that to happen.
And do you think Leach will ever be able to do anything at Washington State? He's been there for a while now.
I mean,
he's kind of middle of the road, consistently.
Yeah, but I mean, let's look at Washington State historically. They've been less than middle of the road.
True.
So what he's done there, to me, pretty impressive.
I agree. Obviously, with a bowl win, his job should not be in any threat or anything like that. But he's just a big name that's coached some big places, and he's kind of just buried there at Washington State, really. You never really hear anything about him. So next game we had was the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl with Washington versus Southern Miss. And Washington pulls it out, slate 44-31 over a good Southern Miss team.
Yeah, that offense for Washington showed up. I was glad
somehow
to see it. Man, that quarterback was everywhere, man. He was on the edge, getting across the middle. He split the seam twice with the tight ends. It was a beautiful game to watch.
And usually if Southern Miss scores 31, they're winning the ball game. So about what you expect from them. So next game we had the Foster's Farms Bowl. La, 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 la. Tongue twister there. We had UCLA versus Nebraska. This one was a pretty good one. Nebraska pulls it out 37-29 slate. Nebraska was the team that beat Michigan State last week that we were trying to think of instead of Indiana. Remember last week we were talking about? Yeah, it was Nebraska that beat them. So Nebraska, to get a bowl win, they beat Michigan State, who was in the playoffs. Not a bad season for their first-year coach, Slayton.
Yeah, Nebraska, they had a few things go wrong for them as well this year, but they turned it around and got it done.
Had a solid season.
Yeah, I think UCLA is a big win. I mean, Rosen's going to be some serious work this next few years.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Rosen does at UCLA, too. They could be a threat if they get some pieces around them. Well, actually, they have some pieces around them, but, you know, if they just keep the talent coming in there like they have been the past couple of seasons with Moore as their coach, look for UCLA to finally take that step in the Pac-12 next season. So, next game was the Quick Lane Bowl. We had Central Michigan versus Minnesota. Slayton, I was one dang point off of calling this one right. Final score was 21-14 Minnesota, and I had 20-14 Minnesota. Slayton, so close. But this one was a whoever broke the more runs game, basically.
You want to know what's more beautiful than that?
What?
I called it exactly, son. 21-14.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
I hate you.
I love it.
I hate you.
I love it. Minnesota, they got it done, ran the ball effectively, played Big Ten football. That's what they did.
Yep, that's all you have to do to beat Central Michigan, basically. So, next one is the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. We had Cal and Air Force. This one was earlier Tuesday. And Cal gets the victory 55-36. Slayton, I was at work, so I saw absolutely none of this game.
Jared Goff absolutely ate. I mean, 300 plus yards passing. I believe six passing touchdowns total. Yeah, got it done. He's definitely putting his draft stock up.
Yep, for sure. So that's the last quick hit that we are going to do. So let's go ahead and roll into our what's up and what's down before we take our commercial break. Slane, which one do you want to start with? You want to start with what's up or what's down this week?
Let's start on what's down so we can end on a positive note.
Let's do that again. So I'll go ahead and give my what's down real quick. My first one is my interest in bowl games. I want to watch them. I might have them on TV, but I'm not dialed into them like I am most college football games. Like during the season, there's just nothing there to back the college. You know what I'm saying? Like there's nothing to back what I'm watching. Like that's what makes watching all these college football games during the season so great, because they all have so much on the line. There's so many consequences to a win or a loss every week. A bowl game, you pack up and start talking about next season. Win or loss, really. I mean, it sits with you for like a day or two. You're like, oh, man, we lost our bowl game. Oh, man, our season's over. And then you just go on to next season pretty much.
Yeah.
And my other what's down this week is the right tackle for Florida got suspended. He wasn't a starter, but he had pretty much played a lot this season, you know, because we kind of have to rotate offensive linemen here and there. And then another one came through, Jordan Scarlett. I don't know what they're suspended for. I got a good idea probably what these guys are suspended for. But Jordan Scarlett being suspended, I don't like that at all, because I expect this man to do a lot for us in the future, Slayton.
Yeah, I mean, Scarlett, he's a big body back. I'd love to see what he's going to do for you.
He's going to be the main feature next year with Kelvin going to the draft.
Well, they got to find somebody to supplement him. I don't believe that he's every down back.
No.
You're going to have somebody with some speed to hit the edge.
Yeah, you need that quick back. So that's my two what's downs this week, Slayton. What's your what's down?
Man, I hate agreeing with you, but yeah, there's too many bowls. Take away from the bowl mystique. They really do. I remember growing up, you'd watch these bowl games, and there was always a great backstory behind them.
Yeah.
And there was always something on the line. It was the major Notre Dame versus the USC meeting in the Rose Bowl or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just not that way anymore. And I understand we got the college football playoff. We harped on it for years, but it really did take away from some of these bigger bowls. And yeah, it seems like nothing else matters except for the playoff.
Because that's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
And, hey, luckily, though, playoff games are this week. You know we're going to touch on those in our picks. So, let's go what's up real quick. I'll give my what's up. My first one, I'm sure you probably have this one too, Slayton. Just Reynolds taking back his records in the Navy win. Like we said, we're fans of Reynolds and we're fan of the Navy program. So, anytime both of those things do well, that's a what's up for me. Like I just said, the playoff games are this week. Yes, yes, yes. Going to be a portion of my New Year's Eve festivities. Cannot wait. They're both going to be some fantastic games, I believe. And my last one is my boys play for the last time this season. Florida plays Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. So anytime the Gators play football on TV, you know White Boy Stew is going to have eyeballs on it. So, Slayton, what is your what's up this week? Or what's up, whatever one you
My
got.
What's up is the one true highlight for me this week, and that was Reynolds getting the W, reclaiming his touchdown record. There's nothing better for me this week than that moment.
Yeah.
And it's just because I guess it meant more to me because he didn't get an invite to the Heisman. So
he just got snubbed.
Yeah, he did. Yep. Icing on the cake, though.
Yeah, for sure. We're cool with all that. Congratulations to him and everything he's accomplished in – good luck from the 10 for 10 U and any and everything that he does. And obviously, any and everything that man does, he's going to absolutely give it 110% and absolutely kill it. So, Slayton, awesome first half of the show. We're going to go ahead and take a commercial break real quick. We're going to come back. We got a crap ton of bowl games to pick. We're going to pick all of the rest of the bowl games for this bowl season. And we're going to give you our thoughts for the two college football playoff games this week. So give you a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get fresh. It's time to get a little clean. We'll go to the man himself, the master, Jason Neely. 13 years of experience as a barber. Haircuts are $12, flat tops are $14. Located in White House, Tennessee at 147 Raymond Hirsch Parkway. Give Jason the Master a call today at 615-440-3049.
What it do? It's your boy, White Boy Stew. And if you're having 10 for 10 Network withdrawal Sunday through Friday, it's okay. Because here at the 10 for 10 Network, we have the antidote for you. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at the 10 for 10 Network. If you like to follow Johnny on Twitter, it's at Johnny Showtime. If you want to follow me, White Boy Stew, on Twitter, it's at GoGators_SNT. So make sure to like and share. And you never know, you might just hear your name on the air.
Ever wanted some custom furniture or maybe some professional work done to give your house that country feel? Well, check out Johnson's Woodwork in Portland, Tennessee, where they take reclaimed oak and barn wood to spruce up your house. Give David Johnson a call today at 615-419-5350, where the wood is good. Are you looking for a place to train? Looking for a place to become a champion? Well, look no further, as UFC Gym is coming to Hendersonville, Tennessee in early September. UFC Gym offers all kinds of options and specialties for training, such as weights, self-defense, kids' classes, and even highly qualified training in jiu-jitsu. Go by there today or give them a call at 615-348-4150 and tell them the 10 for 10 sent you, because that's where champions are made.
Class here at the 10 for 10. You make sure to go check out all of the sponsors for the 10 for 10 network. We appreciate everything that they do for us here at the 10 for 10 network. Want to give a shout out to everybody who supports the 10 for 10 network and the 10 for 10 you in any shape, form, or fashion. We appreciate it. I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful holiday season. And I hope everybody has a fun and safe New Year's Eve. Do not drink and drive, people. That is idiotic. Let's try to not have any deaths on the roadway this year, but have a great time. Enjoy the time that you get with your family and friends. And I want to give a shout out as well to my family, to everybody, not just my immediate family, but everybody, the Kirks, the Thompsons, the Morgans, whoever it is, everybody that was part of my holiday experience. Shout out to y'all. All the food was amazing. We came back with like 6 plates of desserts for no reason from like all these places. We got fruitcake, pound cake, carrot cake, chess pie, pecan pie. I mean, we had all kinds of crazy stuff. I got a golfing little tee, I guess you would say, a little putting green that goes under the toilet. So when you're going number 2, you can work on your putt game.
Got potty putting.
Yeah, my potty putter is what it's called. So I get to work on my green game while I'm laying the brown, if you get what I'm saying. That was probably the best dirty Santa gift I had ever got. So just shout out to all my family. All the festivities were awesome. All the food was awesome. And I just hope everybody that supports us, and if you're listening to this, I hope you had a great holiday season. So, Slayton, got any shout outs you want to give real quick?
I do. As always, shout out Maggie Slayton.
Yeah, shout out to her.
Yeah, doing big things right now.
We are.
With the Gator Horn, all that, which we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, mad shout-out to my family, everybody that got with me on Christmas. I appreciate all the gifts. Yep. Hope you like everything that we got y'all. Hope that you're listening to this. Shout-out to Matt and Paige, who couldn't make it back into town for Christmas. Shelby Ring, Sarah Nash.
Yeah, shout-out to Shelby. We'll give her a shout-out.
All of them. So, if you're one of my friends, this is your shout-out right now, so I don't want to hear about you not getting the shout-out.
Yeah, and if you want to check out me and Slayton's new project we're working, we're kind of – like we said, going away from the 10 for 10 U because college football season is basically all but over. And we're working our way into the Gator Horn. If you want to check us out, you can Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, just check us out, Gator Horn, like Gator and Horn. It's literally that easy. One word. Just check us out. I believe it's Gator Horn Productions, yep. I believe. Yeah, just look that up on Facebook. You can actually Google it, and it's right there on the Facebook. And if you want to hear Slayton's beautiful wife, Maggie, sing with her beautiful, beautiful voice and hear the talents of White Boy Stu mixing her beautiful voice, go check out our YouTube page. We got 2 songs that she's sang right now on the page. Go give those of you, go give us a like, go give us a share, because as the 10 for 10 U's over, we are transitioning to the Gator Horn, and that's where all the material for me and Slayton will come for our new podcast that we're going to do. We still haven't really planned. We kind of planned it out, but we haven't. So just keep an eye out for that and go check out all of our pages. That way, as soon as 10 for 10 U's over, you can just roll right into us with the Gator Horn. So, without talking any more about stuff that really doesn't matter about college football, go ahead and hop into our picks. Somehow, by the graces of God, me and Slayton tied again. The second week in a row for bowl season. We tied at 8-7. And so we now both have the season record of 127-59.
I think this thing might come down to a coin toss.
Or it might come down to national championship.
Maybe.
Or it might come down. We do have 17 games right here, Slayton, that we're about to pick.
Yeah, I have no clue who you picked either, so.
So maybe we'll have an odd number.
Hopefully.
Of differences this week. And maybe the national championship will settle it for a tie.
Maybe.
Like, we're not picking national championship if there's a way for us to tie.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. We got to pick national championship. But what we're going to do, we're going to touch on the 15 remaining bowl games real quick. And then we're going to hop into the two college football playoff games, which come on New Year's Eve. So, let's hop into them, Slayton. First game, this game's going on right now as we speak. We got the Advocare V100 Texas Bowl. We got number 20 LSU versus Texas Tech. Slayton, I'm taking LSU in this one 30-24 because I don't think Texas Tech has enough to stop Leonard Fournette. And I just see him eating pretty much a good majority of night, especially with the theme we've seen in bowl games this season with the run games being pretty successful no matter who it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got LSU in this game as well. Lots slimmer margin, though. I've got a 17-14 coming down to a field goal. And the reason being, I think eventually Tech figures it out. So, and LSU's a one-trick pony. You know he's getting the ball.
Yeah, that is true. We've seen him get stopped plenty of times.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that one. And you said you picked Texas Tech, right?
No, LSU. We're still even.
I got you. Okay. I'm not even going to worry about it. We'll tally that at the end. Next game we got. This one comes on tomorrow, which would be Wednesday if you're listening. So today we got the Birmingham Bowl. This one's an interesting matchup. This was one of the matchups that I was intrigued by when I read the initial bowl lineup. Now it's Auburn versus Memphis. And I'm going to take Memphis in this one. 37-21 for two reasons. One, I feel like 21 is about what Auburn scores a game. And two, I feel like 37-40 is about what Memphis scores when their offense is working right. And I think their offense will work pretty good in this game.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you, but I think Memphis is going to come out and have a huge day. Paxton Lynch is going to increase his draft stock. 35-17 over Auburn. Got Memphis in this one.
All right, so we both take Memphis. Shout out to Memphis. You know, we've talked about Memphis a lot more than I thought we would have when we first started doing this show. So, like, that's all I'm saying.
I'm still sad they didn't send us bowl tickets. We talked about them almost every week.
Yeah, I mean, Birmingham, that's not that far. We could have made a trip in a day. We could have went down there and came back all in one day.
Exactly.
Y'all struggling, Memphis. All right, so next game. Got the Belt Bowl. We got NC State and Mississippi State. This one's intriguing, too. But I'm going to take Mississippi State in this one, Slayton, 35-20. One man, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I got Dak Prescott lighting it up in this game, 24-14. I don't believe NC State even keeps it close. I believe that's a late 14 at that. So, yeah, Mississippi State all the way.
Yeah, that's a late 20 for me as well. I see them floating with like 10 or 14 pretty much a good majority of the game. Because Mississippi State, say what you want, but them boys fight. They might not be the best team. They might not be the best Mississippi State team there's ever been. But them boys come and they'll play you four quarters, that's for sure. So, next game, we got the one here in town, Slayton. And they've added a lot more words to this one. It used to just be the Music City Bowl.
Yeah.
Or it was the Gaylord Music City Bowl. But then got some new fancy sponsors a couple seasons ago. Now we got the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl.
We were sponsored by Gaylord Music City back in the day. I remember that.
Yeah. So, we got Texas A&M and Louisville, Slayton. Intriguing. But I'm taking Louisville in this one, 24-14, because A&M is just a mess right now.
Boy, I'm glad you went that way, because I picked A&M. I believe that they still get it done. Louisville, yes, they made it to a bowl game, something to be proud of, I guess. But they were pretty horrible for the first half of the year.
Yeah.
And
they got it together, though.
Yeah, they did. They finally got the steam rolling, but they've had a little bit of time to cool off right here.
That is
and
true.
I think A&M's defense is just too much for that offense. So I got it 31-17 A&M.
All righty. So we're different on that one. That's our first different. So the next game we're going to hop on to is the National Funding Holiday Bowl. I feel like I should say that in a soft tone voice. The National Funding Holiday Bowl.
Good years and good tidings.
And we got number 25 USC versus Wisconsin. Slayton, I'm going to take USC in this one 31-20 just because I think they have more offense than Wisconsin does.
Man, I hate agreeing with you. USC 27-13 over Wisconsin, too much of an offense.
So we both agree pretty much. And I believe Cody Kessler raises his draft stock a little bit with this game. So Next games we got one Thursday. This is the only actual bowl game before the two college football playoff games. And this is going to be a good one, Slane. I truly think it is. Number 18, Houston at number 9, Florida State. Houston, the smaller school, getting the love in a big bowl game because Peach Bowl is a pretty big game. I'm going to pick Florida State in this one. 28-20, just because I think Dalvin Cook's going to wear Houston down enough to where at the end of the game, he'll be able to gash them towards the end of the game, I believe.
I'm glad you went that way because I went opposite.
All right.
I got Houston beating Florida State in a close one, 35-27. I believe Ward just too powerful. I don't believe that Florida State defense can hold him in check. And with the lead the entire game, he's going to take Cook out of it. He's going to make Florida State press a little bit. So, yeah, I definitely think Houston's going to win this one.
If Houston can go in there and play their game, throw their points up like they usually do, they can put Florida State in the corner. And this game is definitely winnable for Houston. Just because I picked against them, I don't think Houston can win, because I definitely can see them win this game. And honestly, I'm not going to be mad if they win this game.
Yeah, I'd love to see Houston win this one. I'd like to see the American Conference get that check mark.
Yeah, me too, especially in a big game like the Peach Bowl. So New Year's Day, this is the one where we got a bunch of really, really good matchups. This whole week's actually a lot of good matchups. That's what's good about the end of bowl season. It's all the big teams get to play. So Friday, we got the Outback Bowl. We got number 13 Northwestern at number 23 UT. So we got the Tennessee Volunteers getting the bowl game. I'm going to take Tennessee in this one, 42-24, big one. I know Northwestern supposedly has a great defense, but that run game for Tennessee is going to wear them down. And after they wear them down, I believe Josh Dobbs gets a little hot and does a little bit through the air as well. I just think Tennessee is a well-oiled machine on offense and way too much well-oiled for Northwestern to stop
them. Boy, did you just pick Tennessee?
I did.
Oh,
the first time. I picked them before.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I got UT winning this one, 38-28 over Northwestern. That old man football will keep it close, but in the end, Tennessee's going to pull away.
Yeah, I just think Tennessee has more athletes and just more playmaking ability than Northwestern does. That's why I got such a big score. So, next game, this is my game, Slate, and I will be in front of the TV watching this one. It's the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. Now, don't ask me why Buffalo Wild Wings sponsors
the Citrus Bowl.
The Citrus Bowl. Because there is nothing citrus about Buffalo Wild Wings.
Boy, they got a new brand of chicken coming, don't they?
I mean, the closest thing you're getting to citrus is the little thing they put in your beer for Blue Moon. Like, that's the closest thing you're getting to a citrus for Buffalo Wild Wings.
They got the orange chicken, though.
Not the same kind of orange. Not the same kind of orange. So, I think this one's going to be a close one. We got number 14, Michigan. Number 19, Florida. Like I said, my boys. Slayton, I know I'm being biased.
Good. Be biased so I can win this.
I'm going to pick Florida 18-17 in a close defensive battle.
Yeah, I've got Michigan in this one for all the right reasons. I don't believe Florida's going to put up enough points to beat them. That run game got going for Michigan. That quarterback play, I believe, is going to be right on point. I believe Florida's going to press to try to get points because of how much they struggled, and they're going to try to do way too much and get themselves off the field way too quick.
It's happened before.
Yeah.
So what's your score on that one?
24-10.
Well, I only had Florida scoring 8 more points than you did, so we're both not feeling great about the offense. But, hey, I'll be in front of the TV yelling, go Gators. So, next one we got is the Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl. This one's a hell of a matchup, Slate. Number 8, Notre Dame versus number 7, Ohio State. And as much as it pains me in this one, Slate, I'm going to take Ohio State 32-27 just because – last time I saw Ohio State's offense, they were rolling against a very good defense, and I don't think Notre Dame's defense is as good as Michigan's defense is.
Dadgummit, I picked this game specifically the way I did because I thought you would go the other way, and I wanted us to have a split game. I got Ohio State 35-27, and yeah, we're even on that one.
Yeah, so we pretty much got the same thoughts. I expect Ezekiel Elliott to have a big day. I'm going to call at least 150 on the ground.
I guarantee he gets 35 carries.
At least 150 on the ground, no doubt. So, next one we got is another humongous bowl game. That's the Rose Bowl. We got number 6, Stanford, versus number 5, Iowa. This is going to be a great game. These are two teams that do exactly the same thing. They run the ball quarterback plays solid, but it's not going to blow you out of the, you know, blow you out the gym or anything. And they both run the ball, play D, all of that stuff. They do it the same. But I'm going to take Iowa in this one, Slayton. 28-21, just because I think Iowa's going to be a little bit more hungry because they got a little bit more to prove than Stanford does.
Man, this is another one that I picked the way I did because I thought you'd go the other way on it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got Iowa 24-10 over Stanford. I believe that Iowa's defense is more disciplined than Stanford.
Yep.
So they're not going to give up that big play. And I believe that Stanford's a lot more vulnerable to breaking down in that run game.
Yep.
So, yeah, I got Iowa by two scores in this one.
So we got Sam on the Rose Bowl. So the next one we got, this is also a big one, that is the All-State Sugar Bowl. And we got number 16, Oklahoma State, at number 12, Ole Miss. This one was one of the harder ones to pick, Slayton. Just because you feel like you know so much about these two teams, but at the same time, you feel like you know absolutely nothing about them. They've changed so much. But I'm going to take SEC here. I'm going to take Swag Kelly, 33-27.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Ole Miss and that Kim Dichie defense. He's got to make an impact now. If he doesn't, his draft stock is going to plummet. 35-17, Ole Miss.
So we got Sam on that one. So let's go through our Saturday lineup. These are the last four bowl games besides the national championship, obviously. Got the Tax Slayer Bowl. We got Penn State versus Georgia. I'm going to take James Franklin and Penn State in this one, Slayton. 31-21 for two reasons. One, I feel like James Franklin will probably feel like he's got something a little bit to prove here to beat an SEC team, even though he's beat SEC teams before because he was in the SEC and because they need to win. So I think their team will be a little bit more hungry. And two, Georgia's kind of in a whirlwind. A lot of things have happened since the last game of the season. So I don't think these players' heads are going to be necessarily worried about the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Penn State winning this one 14-13.
14-13. I can see it.
Well, I truly believe that they're good for three scores, but they're going to have trouble putting it in the end zone. So they're going to get two field goals out of it.
Gotcha.
And Penn State, Hackenberg, doesn't have the greatest offensive line, but that defense for Georgia has been suspect all year long. So we'll see what happens, but I really believe Penn State gets this one.
Yep, me too. So the next one we got is the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. We got K-State, Kansas State versus Arkansas. Slate, I'm taking Arkansas on this one, 28-10, because they run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and they're dominant when they do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. This being Snyder, I don't know. I got
K-State likes to run the ball too, but
they
do. It's completely different kinds of running.
It is, and I believe at the beginning of this year I said it. I said Arkansas has the biggest, probably the best offensive line in the entire country. And I believe that's probably true more now than even when I said it then. They've had growing pains. They had problem picking up run blitzes, and they got it figured out. Collins has done a heck of a job at the end of this year.
Yep.
And I've got to go in 24-13. And the only reason that split's not bigger is because they both like to eat clock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Arkansas probably wins big.
If you like to see people run downhill at each other and smack each other, this would be the game to watch. Next one we got is the Valero Alamo Bowl. Got number 15, Oregon, versus number 11, TCU. Slayton, I would like to have seen this game last year.
Yeah.
But still not going to be a bad game. Both these offenses, Oregon's came around, and TCU, when they want to, they can score a lot. So kind of the same styles we got going here. I'm going to go TCU in this one, Slayton, 34-31, just because Trayvon Boykin's a lot better than Vernon Adams Jr. for Oregon.
Well, I agree with that. I'm picking TCU as well, but for a different reason. I believe TCU's defense is more solid than Oregon's defense.
True.
And I don't believe that the quarterback play is going to help Oregon's defense either. So I got to go on 42-28 TCU.
All righty. So the last bowl game for the 2015 bowl season is the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. Most random name. We got West Virginia versus Arizona State. So I'm going to take Arizona State in this one. 28-20, because I just feel like Arizona State's a better team than West Virginia, just to be honest.
Dadgummit, man. I picked this one because I really thought you would pick West Virginia. And I got 28-14 Arizona State for all the same reasons.
Yep. So that's all the bowl games. Besides, when it comes down to it, maybe besides the Florida one for me, none of those really matter.
Well, on a very positive note, just in the bowl games, we only chose three differently.
Yes.
So
there's a chance to split.
Yep. No, there's no chance to split. If it's uneven.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody's got to go ahead on this one.
Oh, right. Unless
we pick one different for these.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure we did. So, anyway, both of these are on New Year's Eve. Both of these are on ESPN. These are the two that matter. These are the playoff games. Whoever wins these two games, they play each other in the national championship game. So, the first one we got is the Capital One Orange Bowl. This one comes on at 3 o'clock, like I said, on ESPN. Both these on ESPN. This one's in Miami, Florida at Sun Life Stadium. We got number 4, Oklahoma versus number 1, Clemson. Now that I think about my pick slate, this one's hard to pick. These are both very good teams.
I'm with you. I'm sitting here contemplating whether I should change mine as well.
You know, Oklahoma has been so hot for the end of the season, but you just wonder how this little stretch right here of downtime is going to hurt them. And they didn't play a conference championship game. So technically Clemson's a week less off than Oklahoma is. So Oklahoma's technically had an extra week off than Clemson has. But I just think Oklahoma is a better team. I really do. And Clemson's gotten – they flirted with disaster a couple times this year. And besides the Texas game, Oklahoma has not. After Texas game, they have controlled every single game. They've dominated pretty much every single game. Baker Mayfield, when he's played, has been playing out of his mind. And sometimes it's just the hottest team. And I think Oklahoma, even with this break, is still the hottest team coming in the playoffs. I feel like they still have the most momentum. I believe they are still the hungriest out of the bunch. So I'm going to take Oklahoma in a great fantastic game. I say it comes down to the last drive. 35-34 Oklahoma.
Wow. Yeah, I went the opposite way on this. I got Clemson going 32-28. And the reason being is Baker Mayfield, I believe, is going to press in this game. And we've seen it all year long. He has these moments where he tries to do too much.
You think it's going to bite him finally?
And it's eventually going to catch up to him.
Yeah, sure.
And I believe that this Clemson defense is so fast that if he starts running around and trying to get out of his playing style, they're going to cause some turnovers.
Yeah.
So Clemson, yeah, they've just been more solid. They haven't been great all year, but they've done exactly what you expected.
Consistent.
So, yeah, 32-28. I agree, it's going to be a great game to watch. It'll probably come down to that last drive. But I would much rather trust Clemson's quarterback to take me on that last drive than I would Mayfield.
I'm just going to go ahead and get a last 2015 wish to the football gods from me and you, Slayton. Can we have one, if not both, of these two games going to overtime?
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Get inside the 30s and just go at each other. Maybe get maybe 4 or 5 overtimes in a game. That would be completely awesome. So, football gods, if you could just do this one last thing for us this season, that would be awesome. So, we picked different on that one.
So, that evens it up.
Yep. The next one we got, and this is the last one. This is the other playoff game. This one comes on at 7 o'clock. This one's in Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas. Got number 3, Michigan State versus number 2, Alabama. This one's hard to pick, too. I'm telling you, no matter which teams you matched up against which teams, it's going to be a good matchup, really. And, like, the matchups are so the same. Like, Michigan State and Alabama are the same team. Oklahoma and Clemson are the same team almost. So
it's
like,
literally however the ball bounces.
Yeah, like, it could literally come down to whoever has the ball last or whoever makes the last defensive stop. Like, it literally could come down to that. So, yeah. Number 3, Michigan State. Number 2, Alabama. As much as I want to pick Bama, as much as I want the SEC to win a national championship so we can get the Big Ten to pipe down a little bit, I'm going to pick Michigan State in this one, Slayton. 28-24, because I believe Michigan State is a good enough team to put some pressure on Alabama to score. And if it comes down to that, I think this one comes down to quarterback play, because both these teams can run the ball. Both these teams can play great defense. But Connor Cook is a better quarterback than Coker, and I believe that's the 4-point difference is Cook to Coker.
Yes, I'm glad that you chose that way because I baited you all week into picking Michigan State.
You didn't bait me to do nothing.
Oh, yeah, you did.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
So
nope.
I chose Bama in this one specifically because of how they got beat last year. They got destroyed, embarrassed, sent home with their tail between their legs. And I don't believe Saban's going to let it happen twice.
It's happened in the past two, postseasons.
There's a difference between how they lost 2 years ago and how they got beat by Ohio State.
I mean, they got their butt whipped by Oklahoma last time they played, too.
I'm just saying. But on a national stage, the way they lost Ohio State,
There was a lot more to the Ohio State to lose at the Ohio State game than the Oklahoma one. I'll give you that.
But I do. I believe that they win this one, 35-28.
So you got it Alabama. Close too.
Oh, I do.
And you still got Michigan State with 28, like I said.
Hey, all I'm saying is.
But folks, don't let it get confused. He didn't bait me into nothing. I was gonna pick Michigan State the whole way.
But you know what the best part of that is? We're still odd. We're at 5.
Hey, well, all right. So guess what? Breaking news here at the 10 for 10 U, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, me and Slayton will not have a tie. And it will no longer be 2015. It will be 2016. So, Slayton, before we get off here for our last show of 2015, do you got any last words you want to give?
Yeah. There are good ships and wood ships and ships that sail the sea. But the best ships are friendships. May they always be.